Have you ever felt like you were under the weather spiritually? Like you needed, there was something that was missing, something that you needed, something that just wasn't quite right and you really couldn't put your finger on it. Maybe you felt like you needed some help getting to another level in your walk with God. How many folks here would feel like they need to grow? Everybody? Nobody feels like they've got it made or they've accomplished everything they set out to accomplish when they became a Christian. All of us feel like that we need to grow. This last year, for not only for the Ferguson family, but for the larger church family here, it's been a challenging year, hasn't it? It really has. For the Ferguson family, it goes back about 2 years. It's been a challenging couple of years. But I tell you what, one way that I really want to grow is as a leader. I want to grow as a leader. That's an area of my life that I want to grow as. I want to increase my capacity to serve God. And in some way, I think all of us in here, if we really wanted to grow, we may not call ourselves a leader, but we are all leaders in some way. If you're a father, you're supposed to be leading your family. If you are a husband, you're leading your wife or the rest of your family as well. If you're a Bible school teacher or an employer, you're a leader in some way. And even if you don't consider yourselves a leader in the sense of leading other people, you really are because you have influence. And all of us should want to lead in such a way as our influence grows. And we influence folks for the kingdom. You are a leader through your influence. You may be a poor one, but you are expected by God to lead through your influence. So today I want to share some practical help on becoming more. And notice I didn't say doing more. That may come as you discover the capacity for more, but mostly just being more. I want to share some practical help, some help on becoming more. Increasing, expanding, growing in your own area of leadership. And there are five areas that we're going to go through, and I got to move pretty quick in order for me to get all the way through them, but that's my goal this morning, to get all the way through those five. And what I want to challenge you to do, they're going to be on the board, write them down if you want to, but I want to challenge you not to look at all five of those and go, boom, I'm going to do all five of those, because you probably won't do much if you try to do all five. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you which one of these five you really need to work on the most. And as we go through them, I think most of us probably would go, yeah, that's me. Maybe another one, yeah, that's me. Maybe that's me. But look for the one that you think needs to be addressed first in your life. So this morning I want to start off by us thinking about what we believe we can do. What do we believe we can do? You know, faith is not just about what we believe. It's also about what we do, isn't it? James had something to say about that. Faith is not just about what we believe. It's not just about a mental set of rules or assertions that we believe in. Faith is also what we do. It was a time when I had panic attacks. Whenever I would get up to teach or preach. Started years ago, back in my 20s. And have struggled with it from time to time, even in my 15 years as a full-time minister here. And I don't know if any of you have ever had a panic attack, but how I would describe a panic attack, have you ever tried to put a cat in a bathtub? You got that mental picture in your head of trying to unwrap that cat away from your body and put it in the bathtub? That's what a panic attack feels like on the inside. All right, so imagine... You know, if you have never had a panic attack, imagine trying to get up and teach and preach, stand in front of folks and act like you know what you're talking about with that kind of angst and anxiety going on inside of you. And whenever those panic attacks would hit, my confidence would be shot, blown to smithereens, no confidence whatsoever. And then I would hear, you know, how Satan comes to us and he whispers things in our ear, and he would say things like, just who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to get up and speak a word to God's people? It was a time of very low confidence for me. Anybody here ever felt weak? You ever felt weak? If anything, I felt weak during times like that. So faith isn't just about what we believe, but that's where it starts. And in many ways, the level of your activity is based on the depth of your belief. If you don't believe that you can do something, you're probably not going to be able to do it. If you don't believe that God is in you and working through you and can give you the power to accomplish something, you're probably not going to be able to accomplish it. And so belief and action are tied very closely together. The Apostle Paul said, it is written, I believe, therefore what? I have spoken. He said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So your actions are a result of what you believe. And this is true, I think, in anything. This morning, the passage that I really want us to kind of focus on is this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And just bear with me while I read it, and I want us to think about this for a few minutes this morning. Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably what? More. So a question that I would ask you is, do you believe that God wants to do more in us? Do you believe that God wants to do more in us? Do you think God wants to increase my capacity for work in the kingdom? Yes or no? What's that? That's right. That's right. So God intends to do more in us. And He is capable of doing more in us, immeasurably more than we can even imagine or ask for. So one of the unconscious questions I think that we ask ourselves every day is not just what do I believe, it's what do I believe that I can do for the kingdom with the power of God in me. What do I believe that I can do for the kingdom, not with my own power, but with the power of God living in me? Last week, one of the best Super Bowl stories ever, wasn't it? And I am neither a Falcons fan, really, or definitely not a Patriots fan. So I really didn't care. Everybody was asking me, who do you want to win the Super Bowl? I could really give a rip. I don't care. I mean, I guess the Falcons, if I had to choose, because it's Atlanta, it's in the South, it's, you know, I mean, it's, I've known people from Atlanta. I don't actually know anybody in New England. A team down 25 points fought back and won the prize. The next day I heard people saying things like, well, did the Falcons just choke or did the Patriots really earn the victory? Watch the game. Watch the game. What was obvious was that every player on the New England Patriots team, whether I like them or not, every player believed what? They believed they could do it. They believed that they could fight back and they could put enough points on the board. They could overcome their competition. They believed it was possible and they gave the sacrifice necessary to make it a reality. Even though a comeback of that sort had never taken place in the Super Bowl. So the first thing that I want to challenge us to do this morning, and this may be your one, all right? If four of these don't, if they're not the shoe that you need to wear, then don't wear them. But for some of us, we need to increase our confidence. Why? Because when I am weak, what? He is strong. I asked Jeff and Brandy to read a couple passages for us. First one is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Jeff, would you read that?
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary.
All right, Brandy. She's going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10.
And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
All right. Folks, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. We've all known arrogant people. We don't like arrogant people. We don't like when folks seem to be arrogant. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. We can be confident because we know whose we are. We can be confident because we know the power of God is in us, and it isn't our power. I mean, how many times in life have you discovered weakness? I told you about a time when, you know, weakness would come to me through those panic attacks, through anxiety. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence is born of believing God's power is in us, and he will help us to overcome. You need confidence when it comes to being a better husband. You need confidence, guys, when it comes to being a better father, ladies, a better wife, or a better mother. You need confidence that God will help you say words of love and concern when you see a friend heading down a bad road, or you're just gonna watch them go. No, you need confidence to be able, courage to be able to say what needs to be said, because you love them. You need the confidence that is born of the Holy Spirit, that your weakness can actually be a strength in God's hands. Some of us won't do more or be more because our lack of confidence is too big of a hurdle. Our lack of faith in God's ability holds us back from what God has for us. And there are many, many other ways that this affects us. Some of us are carrying sins or addictions. Some of us are carrying secrets or burdens, maybe that nobody else knows about, and they weigh us down, they affect us. And with confidence born from God, born from the power of God in our lives, he can give us the strength to begin to cast those off. And this confidence is different than pride or arrogance. It's the opposite. It's dependence on the Lord and on his power. Maybe we need to be reminded of who we are. Ephesians chapter 1 says that we are adopted sons and daughters into God's family. On Facebook recently, a couple weeks ago, I guess, I shared a video of a couple who get to see their adopted baby for the very first time. Some of you have seen that. And it's a tearjerker because this guy, I mean, he just weeps. He is overcome with emotion. He doesn't even at first hold the child. All he can do is cry because he's just so overcome with emotion. And the thought that I had when I was watching that is you know, that child, and this is true for all of our children, not just our adopted children, but that child had no idea how special he or she was. I don't even know if it was a boy or a girl, but they had no idea that they could literally ask for the moon from that man and get it. So much was his love for her or him already. Folks, God loved us so much that he wrapped his son up and gave him to this world for 33 years so that we could be his sons and daughters. Some of us need to ask God for confidence that is born of that kind of relationship. Ask him to give you the strength to fight back, even though you may feel like you're 25 points down and there's no hope. For some of us, we need that confidence. Number two, Ask God to increase your connections. And what I mean by connections is, who are you listening to? Who are the dominant voices in your life? Studies have shown that we are literally becoming the five dominant voices in our lives. So for some of you, as you grow up, somebody says to you, a relative or whatever says to you, man, you sound just like your daddy. Or you sound just like your mama. And, you know, that's not accident, is it? It's not even so much DNA. It's because you spent time around them. It's because they were an influential voice in your life. It's because you listened to them. It's because those words sunk in. And so it's like 1 + 1 = 2. You begin to become more like them. If Scripture isn't one of the most important voices in your life, if Scripture, if God's Word, His Word to us, isn't one of the most influential voices in our life, is it any reason, I mean, is it any mystery that we wouldn't be very spiritual people? Some of you waste a whole lot of time listening to negative people. People who have an excuse for everything. People who only complain. People who only see what's wrong with a situation instead of what's right. You don't think that affects you? And yet we put up with those negative voices in our lives as if we think we could change them. Can you change a negative person? You can't even change yourself. It's hard enough to change yourself. And yet we allow that negative voice to be a dominant shaper. It shapes us. We may not intend for it to, but it shapes us. You know, one thing I struggle with, here's yet another thing that I struggle with. And if my wife shouts out amen, it's okay. I get bad attitudes. Anybody here have a bad attitude ever? No. Okay. Adam. I was really going to be disappointed if you didn't raise your hand, brother. When I have a bad attitude, y'all, it colors everything in my day. Everything. It colors my relationship with my wife. It colors my relationship with my kids. It colors my relationship with my elders. It colors my relationships with my brothers and sisters. It colors my relationships about my work. It colors my relationships just about life in general. I heard a saying recently that I have adopted, and man, I wish I'd heard this statement a long time ago. But a guy said, your bad attitude is your worst disability. Oh, wow. There are people with no legs in this life who are covering more ground than me. There are people with real spiritual, real physical disabilities, mental disabilities, who don't have the capacity for more. And I let a stinking bad attitude keep me from being who God's calling me to be. Sometimes you don't like to get preached at, but sometimes you need to preach to yourself. Sometimes we need to take Scripture and preach it to ourselves. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. The power of Christ is made strong in me through my weakness. I am of a chosen people, Peter says. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am God's special possession. I press on to take hold of that which for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Anybody here ever heard of a fellow by the name of Les Brown? Les Brown was born in an abandoned building on the floor in a big city, and he and his twin were given to a lady who had no children. So twins, Les, named Leslie, and his brother Wesley. Les, at an early age, was labeled EMR, educable, mentally retarded. And for 14 years of his life, he was told and taught and labeled that he would never amount to anything better. And he believed it. One day he was walking, he had left his special education class, and he was walking by his brother's classroom. And there was a teacher in his brother's classroom. It was a math class. His name was Leroy Washington. And Leroy Washington saw Les walk by, thought it was Wes, and said, "Hey, come on in here and do this problem on the board." And he walked in the classroom and he said, "I can't do that." Teacher Washington said, "Why not?" He said, "Because I'm educable, mentally retarded. I'm not smart enough." At which point, a bunch of the kids in the class began to laugh at him, poke fun at him, called him DT. Leroy Washington said, "Why are they calling you DT? He said, "I'm the dumb twin." Leroy Washington became one of the dominant voices in his life. And Les Brown went on to become very successful entrepreneur, started several companies, one of the best motivational speakers of all time. No college education, not much of a high school education, but he had some people in his life, finally, who would speak greatness into him. And he became whom God had created him to become. Some of us need to increase or improve the connections in our lives. How will you ever increase your capacity for ministry if you don't listen to the people whom God would use? How many of y'all believe that God works through people? Come on, raise your hand. How will you ever increase your capacity in the kingdom if you won't listen, or if you don't give yourself the opportunity to listen to the very people that God would use to speak greatness into your life? What books do you read? I'm really about to meddle now. How much worthless TV do you watch? Don't say you don't have time. That is not an excuse. You might be one relationship away from changing the course of your life. There's not much more powerful than a good mentor. You want to be a great husband? Find a great husband. Study him. Talk to him. Listen to him. You want to be a great wife or a great mother? Find someone, even if it's not your own, find someone who's a good mother and modeler. You want to be a spiritual giant? Find someone who experiences intimacy with God on a regular basis. And listen. Listen to me. Listen to her. Some of us need to ask God to increase our connections. Number three, some of us need to ask God to increase our competency. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking, "Wait, all these things start with a C." That's because I didn't make them up. What do you need to improve on? I can guarantee you there is somebody in your life, who will be honest enough with you and tell you what you're doing poorly or what you need to do better. The people who know you really well, they know you well enough to know what your shortcomings are. If you will humble yourself, if we will humble ourselves, God will use people to challenge our skill, to challenge our our abilities, to help us grow our gifts. The problem with this is that we often don't really want to know what we're doing poorly in, do we? I mean, who wants to sit down and look somebody face to face and have them say, hey, you need to do better in this? Those of you who go and you sit in front of a boss and you have to have a, you know, some sort of you know, conversation with your boss, what do they call it? Yeah, just get an evaluation. I mean, who wants to hear that? Who wants to hear, hey, you really, really stink at this? You need to do better. And folks, we're going to talk about character in a minute, but that's just pride. That's pride. And we will never increase our competence in anything, whether it's as a follower of Christ, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a friend. We'll never increase our competence if we can't humble ourselves and hear what might be a difficult truth. Are you willing to change now so that you can follow Christ more completely and have more impact later? To do that, you're going to have to embrace humility now so that you can have more impact later. I want to be the best I can be. I want to be the best Billy Ferguson that Billy Ferguson can be. I don't always want it that strongly. But I do know this. I know that God deserves my best. Amen? If anybody does, God deserves my best because He gave His best for me. Some of our marriages could be stronger, way stronger, because we are open to change and improvement, willing to improve. Some of our kids could gain just tremendously from a renewed commitment on our part to great parenting. Folks, the opportunity to work in the kingdom, it's not just a responsibility. Sometimes we look at it like, oh, I've got to go to church, or I got to go do this, or I got to go help this person. It's a privilege. It's not just a responsibility. It's a privilege. Can I improve? I can. But there's only so much that I can do on my own strength. But with God, I can improve in any number of ways because His power is so much greater than mine. For some of you, this is the one thing that you need to work on. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you're unmotivated. You're selfish. And the offering of your gift shows it. If that's you, don't say you can't do better. Anybody here ever heard of the 40% rule? Athletes use this, and they say that when your mind is screaming that you are done, you have no more capability, when you're at CrossFit and your body's telling you, David, you're done, you're really not done. When your mind is telling your body you're done, you're really only 40% done. You got more. If the Holy Spirit of God is in us, church, we are capable of far more than we ever believed possible. So some of you need to ask God to improve your competency. Number four, we need to ask God to strengthen our character. So we look at all of these areas of our life, and we're trying to increase our confidence. We're trying to listen to better voices, stronger voices, more encouraging voices, more challenging voices. We're trying to improve what we do. We're trying to improve our ability to serve. And so, in a sense, we could say, you know, I do all of these things and my capacity in the kingdom is increased, right? And yet there's a hole in the bottom of it. And just like sand out of an hourglass, it's character. There's a hole or holes in our character. And we need to know what those character flaws are. Some of us need to ask God to reveal to us what our character flaws are. You'd think we would know it, but we don't always. some of my character flaws are really obvious. They may not be obvious to you because you don't spend every day with me. They may be obvious to Eric because he sees me almost every day. And I guarantee you they're probably obvious to my wife. But they may not be obvious to the rest of the world. But there are some character flaws that we hide really well, don't we? Sometimes we even, our unconscious mind, we're even able to convince ourselves that they're not a problem. So what are the areas of your character that have holes in them? Character is not the same thing as reputation. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is who you really are. It's who you are when you're all alone. It's who you are when no one else can see your actions. It's who you are when no one else can hear your thoughts. Remember that what you do in private will always affect who you are publicly, eventually. It always will. How many remember Hazel Cook? Hazel Cook not speaking her mind was not one of her flaws, was it? Absolutely not. It's probably been 10 years ago when Joe Cook was just a young boy. I told him that I was going to take him fishing. And he was so excited about that fishing trip. Well, guess what? I never took him. And Hazel Cook let me know, too, years later. She let me know that what I did in telling that boy I would take him fishing and never taking him was a disappointment to him, and it was wrong, and she was right. Folks, we are only as strong as we are honest. If integrity, if your character is suffering from integrity, there will always be a hole in the bottom of the bowl that we're calling the capacity to serve in the kingdom. Unresolved sin in our life is never harmless. I'm not hurting anyone. It's just code for I don't want to change. And I'm not going to put the effort into change. When you talk about someone behind their back, you may not realize it, but you're showing a lack of character. When you get caught in a lie, you're planting seeds of distrust for the future. When you do things from a false motive and other people figure it out, you're planting those same seeds of distrust. David said these words in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and this is the message. He said, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself," David said, "whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life." A few months ago, I was at the Y on a Saturday morning. It was one of those, I love to go to the Y on Saturday morning because there's usually nobody there. And I was the only one there. And so I was on the treadmill, and I had some worship music on. I was kind of in a place of struggle in several ways. I was in a place of personal struggle. You know, who am I really? Who is Billy Ferguson? I was in a place of family struggle. Who are we? And who are we going to be in, you know, in this church, in this community? I was in a place of professional struggle, thinking things like, "You idiot, you're not a contractor, you're a preacher. What are you doing?" I was desperately looking for answers. And it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't something that I heard. But it was as if God put his thoughts in my heart. And these were the thoughts. I believe that he was saying to me, "Billy, the thing you have never turned over to me is your pride." And there was no denying it. I had never turned my pride over to God. I'd attempted to turn a lot of other character struggles and a lot of other character flaws over to God, but I'd never addressed my pride, my ego. And so I tried to run faster for a minute, but I was on a treadmill and I didn't go anywhere. You can't run from God anyway, right? So I did what anyone would do when God's Spirit gave them the ugly truth about their character. I repented. And it's still a struggle. It's not something that I kicked that day, but I'm aware of it. And it's something that I think about on a daily basis. My character issue, my sin, the sin of pride, was standing in the way of opportunities and possibilities that God had for me to work in His kingdom. For some of you, this is your one. You got a character flaw. And don't feel like somebody's pointing a finger at you. Don't feel like we're pinging on you. This is every single one of us. There is no one righteous, no, not one. You got a character flaw, and in order for you to increase your capacity in the kingdom, you got to be man enough or woman enough and have the courage, the confidence, and the power of God to say, you know what, I'm going to address it. For many of us, that's our one. I got 5 minutes, so I got to get through this last one. Okay, I'm going to go kind of fast. Number five, some of us need to ask God to increase our commitment as we go forward as a church. More about that in coming weeks. Really excited about Lindy and his wife making their home here and their kids, Sam and McKay. But as that happens, and as we start looking at ways to go further into the community and make our work in the community to grow in our capacity in this community, I think we're going to have to address some heart issues. And one of those heart issues that we're going to have to address as a church is our level of commitment. It's February now. Depending on which site you Google this from, between 88% and 92% of people who made resolutions have failed to accomplish what they set out to do just January the 1st. In fact, most of them quit within the first 3 weeks. Why? A lot of reasons. Number one, some of them didn't actually set any goals. Some of them, their goals were too large. Maybe they said, I'm going to lose weight. How? I don't know. I'm just going to lose weight. But mostly because they weren't resolute. See, that's what a resolution is. It's being resolute. They didn't make a decision, and they didn't commit. They made a wish list. That's what most of our resolutions are around January the 1st. It's just a wish list. It's something we'd like to do. We're interested in it, but we're not really committed. Folks, you don't get what you want. You get what you have to have. When you want something so bad, when you want to be a father so bad, and you want to raise your kids so badly to love the Lord, you're gonna structure your whole life around that. The decisions you make, the places you go, the places you don't go. There's a story of Cortez and his conquest of Mexico, where he is reputed to have landed on the Mexican peninsula, and he burned his boats. Why? No retreat. No possibility of retreat. Imagine what it must have felt like, his men looking back. I don't know if this actually happened or not. Some say it's just a rumor. Some say it's just a legend. But it's a pretty cool story. In 49 B.C., something similar happened. This is the truth, at least from historians. Julius Caesar was ordered back to Rome with his large army, and he was ordered to basically surrender control to the Senate. And so when he approached Rome, the border of Rome where he was the Rubicon River. And as he approached that river, he knew that if he crossed those bridges into the borders of Rome, he was declaring war on the Senate. Well, he did cross, and guess what he did after he crossed? He burned the bridges down so there would be no possibility for retreat. Folks, the word decision is very closely related to incision. What do you do when you incise something? When you do an incision, you cut into it, right? A decision is when you cut something off. And when you make a decision to follow Christ, you are supposed to be cutting off everything else. Our commitment to follow Christ is not just supposed to be one commitment among many others that we make in our life. It is supposed to be the commitment. Are we that committed to following Jesus? Could you be so committed to following Jesus that you just dive in? Or are you just interested in it? Big difference between interest and commitment. Most of the people in this world have never made a commitment they would die for. There's a big difference between saying, I want to lose weight, and saying, I will treat my body as the temple of the Lord with the help of God, and here's how I'm going to do it. There's a big difference between saying, we should really reach our community, and saying, we are the church. And we must, not should, but must reach the lost and hurting people in this community with the love of Christ. There's a difference between saying, this habit is part of my character and I would like to be able to give it up someday, and saying, I will humble myself before the Lord and ask Him to shine His light on my struggle and give me strength to fight it. There's a big difference between saying, I know I need to be a better dad, or I will, by the power of God in me, be the father that God demands I be. And with His power, I will lead my family through this time. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to a plow and looks back is what? Fit for service in the kingdom of God. Folks, that's commitment. That's another way of defining commitment. What if we had a revival of people who said, you know what, I'm in. Love God, love each other, serve the world. This vision is my vision, and I am in. I'm not looking back. I'm not going to waver. I've made a decision. I won't listen to or put up with the negative voices that drag us down. I won't allow my lack of God confidence, my own lack of competence, my own character sins, or my unwavering commitment keep me among the 92% of people who can't make a decision and stick to it. I won't let my fear, my prejudices, or my discomfort keep me or this church from being who we need to be. Where does your capacity need to stretch or increase? I would encourage you to pick one and tell somebody that you trust about it. Tell them which one is a problem in your life. Tell them so they can hold you accountable. Ask them ahead of time to hold you accountable. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. And Father, we are astounded by your mercy and grace. The fact that you would give us time after time, chance after chance, Father, to repent and come back to you. Father, we're so thankful for your grace, and we're so thankful, Father, that even right now, as we struggle with weakness in our life, your grace is sufficient for us. Father, help us not to depend on our own strength, but help us to depend on your strength, and help us to walk in that grace every day. Father, help us to all increase, strengthen, our capacity to serve you in every area of our lives. And we pray that you would reveal to us through your Spirit where our shortcomings are. Father, give us the humility to face them. Give us the strength. Give us the courage. Give us the dependence on you to address them. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.